So we continue Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, our series of shiurim on the Isser about Tashlis. There are many other examples in Halacha that one would not even necessarily assume are included of in the concept about Tashlis, but actually when one learns these Halachas, he discovers that they're included in the Isser of Baal Tashchis. There's an interesting tshuva in the Shaul of Tshuvas Marashdam. He was asked if there's an isser when one is shechting an animal not to be sold to Jews. He's selling the animal to non-Jews. Is he allowed to shecht the animal with a knife that's not kosher for shechita, or kill the animal in a non shechita manner? And he says that one would say, certainly it's not usher. I'm not shechting it to serve to Jews. However, he says that if there's a possibility that there's a Jew that may want to eat this meat, and if the animal was slaughtered properly, then Jews would have been able to eat from this meat. So somebody who shechs this meat, and he says, very interesting, and that goes back to what the way we began our previous year as well. It may be not technically included in the category of Baal Tashchis, but it's certainly included in the category of Lo Yishpach Odom Meboiroi V'Acherim Tzrichim Lehem. And therefore he says, only in a situation where the animal doesn't belong to a Jew, belongs to a Goy, or it's being sold specifically for a non, it's being slaughtered specifically for a non-Jewish business that doesn't have Jewish customers, only then may you shecht an animal not in a proper manner. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Tezvov, Sifkotin Gimel, quotes the Achronim, that let's say somebody wants to replace the tzitzis on his talus or his talus cotton to put on new tzitzis, and the old tzitzis are still kosher. So he says one should be careful to untie the knots, not just to cut them off, because by cutting them off, you're ruining them. And Chazal taught us, as we're learning in our shiurim, "Vayishvech adam meiboyroi v'acherim tzrichlam hem." He does, however, quote the Chaya Adam, that if it's difficult, it's too much of a tircha to untie all of these knots, then one could cut them and it will not be considered Baal Tashchis, again, very much along the lines of what we discussed in our previous year, because that's not considered Derech Hashchasa. I also saw a tshuva. I also saw a tshuva in the Shalos HaTshuvos, Tshuvos van Haggis, Chelek Gimel, Simen Shin Mem. He has a very interesting discussion there. He discusses that there are many people who buy products, who live in Eretz Yisrael, or buy products even in Chutz Laretz that are manufactured in Eretz Yisrael with a reliable hashgacha. And certainly if they have a reliable hashgacha, the hashgacha is making sure that Trumis and Maestris and all the other mitzvahs atluyas baritz are being followed. Yet these people, when they get these products, take Trumis and Maestris off again. And the question is, why? Isn't that a situation about Tashchis? Taking this food that you're removing for Trumis and Maestris, that there's no need to do so because a reliable hashgacha has already done so, why would that not be considered Baal Tashchis? And it's interesting, the approach that he takes is only because one could question if the Trumas and Maestris are indeed being taken off properly, and that's why there's a halachic basis for one to take off Trumas and Maestris again. It seems the way I understand what he's saying, and it's a very bechiddush, But the way I understand is only because there are so many questions that could come up, even when a reliable Ashgach is taking off the Trumas and Maisers, is it being done properly, especially because many of the people, he points out, who own these factories really are not knowledgeable in halachas of Trumas and Maisers, and therefore there's a question on their shlich and their ability to make shlichas. There's a question if they really understand if they're doing it properly. So since there are so many different questions that come up, that's why he says one could take off Trumas and Maisers again. Otherwise, he says, indeed, there would be a question of Baal Tashlis. And it's very famous that the Sefer Chassidim as well discusses this issue of Baal Tashlis, and he discusses how careful one has to be regarding Baal Tashlis, and he gives some examples that one wouldn't even think about it. He says, if somebody is making a food item, a tremendous chiddush, he says, if somebody's making a food item, and he can make this food item with cheaper ingredients or more expensive ingredients, and there would be no difference in the final quality of the product produced. So the Sefer Chassidim says that one has no right to use more expensive ingredients if he can use cheaper ingredients. It's Baal Tashlis. Then he says another example. He says if somebody goes out on a rainy day or a snowy day with clothing that isn't rainproof, and therefore that clothing will get ruined by being taken out in the rain, he says it's also included in the Isser of Baal Tashlis. I saw a tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein in the Shalos HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachos, Bedura Tinyono, Chelek Beis, Simen Tov Lamed Gimel, where he discusses, is there an Isser of Baal Tashlis even on an item which is Hefker? So I'm not ruining anybody's item because it's ownerless. He says it doesn't make a difference if the item has an owner or doesn't have an owner. He says, what is the basis for the Isser Baal Tashlis? The basis of the Isser Baal Tashlis is L'Sheves Yitzara V'Loy La'Ashchasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for us to use it in a constructive manner and not in a destructive manner. And therefore, he says, it makes no difference if the item under discussion is Hefker or not. To do anything that is in the category of Ashchasa is prohibited. And in fact, he quotes the Chayvus Halvavus, that even if somebody ruins something as insignificant as the leaf of a tree, if there is no constructive purpose in doing so, that's considered Baal Tashlis. And therefore, there is no difference, and even in an item which is Hefker, there's an Isser Baal Tashlis. He also wants to make an interesting distinction. I find it very interesting. He wants to distinguish between Hefker Bezdin and Hefker versus Hefker of a person. He says Hefker Bezdin Hefker is a much higher level of Hefker than the Hefker that's made by an individual when he's Mafker his item. And therefore he says that even if we'll say that there is that you could be Mafker your item, that Hefker isn't on the same level of Hefker. Certainly, when we speak about the Isser Baal Tashlis, as we quoted in our previous shir, the Isser Baal Tashlis, where the Torah speaks about the Isser Baal Tashlis, is by destroying a tree that gives fruit. And in fact, there are those that say that if somebody destroys a tree that gives fruit, he's over two lavin, because the pasuk says lo sashchus as etza for oisul lo sichrus, and furthermore, they suggest that not only is one over two lavin for destroying a fruit bearing tree, he's also over an essay kimimenu toichel for oisul lo sichrus. So that's a lav haba. That's a lav haba mechlala say, and therefore, destroying a fruit-bearing tree is a particular strong iser. Not only do the Paiskim say one may not destroy of a fruit-bearing tree, but even an Ilan Sirak, which is a tree that doesn't give fruit, it's also, there's an iser about Tashchis. Particularly since the Paiskim say that Osid, the Ilani Sirak, eventually all of the Ilani Sirak will give fruit, so therefore, Baal Tashchis certainly applies to them. What the Paiskim, however, do all say, and the Rambam says it in Hilchos Melachim, that we read from the Rambam in the previous shir, is that if somebody needs to destroy a tree, somebody needs wood from a tree, and he has an option to take from a tree that gives fruit or to take from a tree that doesn't give fruit, he should preferably take from a tree that doesn't give fruit. Moreover, certainly the Paiskim point out that if destroying the tree is because he needs the space where the tree is, or he needs the wood and the wood has more value as a building material or another material versus a tree, versus giving fruit, one is allowed to destroy it. Or if my tree is doing damage to somebody else's property or is closing up a window, in all of these cases, technically, the halacha is that isn't considered baal tashchis. However, it's well known that the Sefer Chassidim and the Tzavos Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid says that one, that there's a sakana involved in destroying one's trees. And therefore, the Paiskim discuss at great length under what circumstances one may or may not destroy a tree. Before we go into that, it's interesting that I saw how far this halacha goes, that the Stechemed in the piece in Simon Mem Zayin, the piece that I quoted in the previous shir, goes so far to say that let's say one is replanting a tree. And we know that when you plant a tree, there's a halacha of arla, where the fruit that's given by the tree for the first 3 years is prohibited from eating. Says the Stechemed, if one has a way of replanting the tree to avoid they will have to start the count of arla all over again, one should do so in such a fashion, all for the reason to avoid baal tashchis, because even though I'm keeping those fruits for arla, which is a mitzvah in the Torah, it's only a mitzvah in the Torah when I'm obligated to do it. But if I have a way of not doing it, so I have no right to do it in a way that could cause hashchasa that I won't be able to have from the fruit. And therefore, I saw the Ramosha Sternbuch in the Shal Chuvas Chuvas and Hoggis, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tuf Tuf, Lamed Aleph, and also as well in Chelik Beis, in Simon Tofshin Chavches, discusses situations where one needs to cut down fruit trees. One is because he needs where the tree is going to be, where the tree is. He speaks about situations where he needs the spot to build a hall or other situations, and as we said, particularly based on the Sefer Chassidim, it involves sakana besides the lav in the Torah, and what should he do? And therefore he says that the only time he would give a heter is if the tree is not being destroyed, he should take the tree and plant it elsewhere. Number two, he says he should not own the tree. He should sell the tree to a Nochri, and it should be the Nochri who's the one that moves the tree from one space to another space. And in fact, he says, with all of these haterim, he says one should not just rely on the tshuva. He says whenever somebody has such a shaila, he should present the shaila to three Talmidei Chachamim who will be able to paskin that it's permissible. Otherwise, not. But again, he says, only move the tree with the earth around the tree. He says that more explicitly in Siman Tov Tuf Lamed Aleph, in Chelek Aleph, because if you're going to move it with its original earth around it, it's more likely to be able to grow, and it should be done after the tree was sold to a Nachri, done by a Nachri. There's a tshuva, a series of tshuvas, in the Shiles of Tshuvas Ber Moshe, Chelek Hei, starting in tshuva Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, going through Simen Kuf Lamed Zion, where he discusses if one may cut down a tree. The question comes up, obviously, very often when one wants to build a sukkah, and there's a sukkah near the tree. So he's much more lenient. First, he wants to say that he wants to suggest that the Rambam is only makel in ever cutting a tree is if you need the spot of the tree. But if you need the tree, even you need the wood, he wants to say the Rambam maybe wouldn't be makel. And then he wants to suggest that maybe it's a machloikis Rambam and Ramban. But at the end he says even the Rambam would be makel. He's certainly a lot more makel when it comes to just taking off leaves from a tree versus taking off the tree itself. He has in Kuf Lamed Vav an interesting discussion where somebody had a fruit tree, and the fruit that was being produced by that tree had a lot of worms. And we know the very serious issa involved in eating worms. And this person had a concern that if he would leave that fruit tree and the fruit, his children would come to eat that fruit, and we know how serious of an issue it is to eat taloim. He says, under those circumstances, one is allowed to cut the tree. Certainly, he says, that let's say there are people who don't know that the fruit is wormy, or people who are not that careful in Hilchus Kashrus, and won't care and eat that fruit. So if he's cutting down the tree in order to prevent people from doing an Aveira, there he's more lenient in cutting down tree. Similarly, there's a Shaila, many places can discuss the Shaila, if there are fruit trees growing in a cemetery, and anything that grows in a cemetery is also Bahano, maybe it's permissible to cut down that tree. Again, if there's a concern that people may come to eat from that tree. He continues in Simen Kuf Lamed Zayin. He says that it could be a little different from what we just quoted from the Tshuvas and Haggis. The Tshuvas and Haggis, we just said, and this we know many people follow this, has the opinion that we could be more lenient when it comes to the Isra Baal Tashkis, particularly about Tashkis of a tree, versus we can be a little more lenient if it's done through a Nachum. He quotes a Sefer who's not prepared to follow such a kula. And there's a very interesting svara. He says there are two types of aveiros. He says there are aveiros where the act is an aveira. The best example would be melacha on Shabbos. So a Yisrael is not allowed to do melacha on Shabbos. A Nachri may do melacha on Shabbos. And therefore, under certain circumstances, certainly not the subject of the shiur that we're currently learning, but under certain circumstances, a mir or a nachri, asking a nachri to do a malacha for one on Shabbos would be permissible. Because there, the aveira is connected to the individual. The Yisrael may not do this aveira, but it's not an aveira for a nachri. But then he says, there are certain circumstances where the aveira is not the act of the aveira. The aveira is the outcome of the aveira. He says, Baal Tashkis is such a situation. He says, what is the aveira Baal Tashkis? He says, as we discussed previously, Baal Tashkis is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that what he created in the world should be used and not be wasted. So it doesn't make a difference, he wants to say, if it's a Jew who's wasting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, or a Nachri who's wasting, or we're causing that it should be done by a Nachri who's wasting something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world. And therefore, he wants to say that just relying on saying that it's not a mirror, that there's no problem about Tashkis, because I have it being done by a Nachri, he's not prepared to say is not in the category of Baal Tashkis. In conclusion to this part of our discussion, I saw that the Mefarshim point out that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael to build the Mishkan in the Midbar, they used Atzei Shittim. Why specifically did they use Atzei Shittim? Because Atzei Shittim, the Shittim is a tree that doesn't give fruit. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's telling us to build a Mishkan, which will be the place where the Shekhinah rests, doesn't want us to use fruit trees, if we could use other trees, not to cause any waste, to avoid Baal Tashkis.